talked about the goats. Golly gee whiz. All right, so I have to do a review. Here we go. We talked about the goats, and a goat is a sports term, and it doesn't matter if you're a football sports fan, soccer, tennis, there's always going to be somebody they call the goat, and the goat stands for the greatest of all time. See, y'all remember? Yay. Everybody say, I'm the goat. But here's the thing. Jesus said Christians can become the goat. Somebody, Dave, you're looking at me like, what is she talking about? Okay, hang in there. Okay, so we can become, according to Jesus, and anything Jesus says, I like what Lane said, if Jesus said it's good. So Jesus said we can become the goat. We can become the greatest of all time. So hop over to the scripture that we read last week. It's Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. I'm not going to read everything we did. I'm just going to read these two verses, Matthew 20, 26 and 27. Not so with you. So he's talking to us, Christians. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, that's called the goat in his kingdom, whoever wants to be the goat, must be your servant. Verse 27. And whoever wants to be first, that's the goat, like the guys up top here, right? Must be your slave or servant. So last week we said Jesus was taking that scripture and we kind of did our main idea. The way up is down. And that simply means if we're going to be the goat in God's kingdom, we are going to lay our life down for people. Everybody say people. Okay. Praise God. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to spend some time talking about laying our life down for people outside these four walls. People outside these walls here. People who live outside who aren't believers yet. We're going to talk about what that looks like and how we do that, all right? And we're going to talk about how God wants us to lay our life down for other people outside. Amen. So let me start with a story. It's always fun to start with a story. And if you were here last week, you heard one of my swimming stories. So years ago, I taught swimming at the JCC. And so I taught kids. I had a blast teaching kids. Kids were fun. But the most rewarding thing, class that I taught, was when I taught adults. And all my adults that I taught had near-drowning experiences. And they got the guts to sign up for my class. So now, the one thing about teaching kids is I will lie to them. Pastor D, you're going to lie to them. Because they all say, don't let go, don't let go, don't let go. And eventually, once I got them swimming, I just don't let them sink here. But once I got them swimming, I have my one hand here. And they're like, don't let go, don't let go. And they're doing it. And then I have one finger and they're going, don't let go, don't let go. And I lie and I let go. Because they're swimmers, okay? But this is what I found out with adults. You cannot lie to them. I had to build relationships with them so they would trust, because they all had scary things happen to them, every single one of them that had a near-drowning thing. Going on with my story, there's this one lady to this day. Her name was Grace, and Grace was kind of a big personality, but don't let go, don't let go, don't let go. And I go, I promise, Grace, I promise, I promise. So we built this relationship. And sometimes it takes more than 6 lessons to learn how to swim. So Grace was my repeat. She signed up for quite a bunch of my classes, and she was getting better at that. But here's the deal. We became friends. And we'd talk before class. She would talk all through class. And then she'd wait, and she'd talk all through after class. And I really enjoyed her. And one day, she didn't sign up for my class. I was like, what? You know, you're doing okay, Grace, but you need to sign up for my class. So I talked to my boss, and Grace had called in. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer. But Grace called me, and I was aware of the situation, and she said, hey, Pastor D, why don't you come to my house and have coffee with me? And I'm thinking, I am so busy. I am the mother of 4 kids. 3 of them are in school. 1 is not. That 1 is not. It was like, wow. My husband is a pastor. I got to drive kids to soccer and this stuff like that. And in my head, I'm going, I just don't have time for this. And the Lord says, D, you need to go to Grace's house. Lord, she lives in Dallas town. I lived in York, New Salem. That was like, you know, ridiculous. So I'm giving God all these excuses, and I finally go, yes, Lord, I will, you know, yes, yes. So you know the end of the story. I got in the door, and Grace started asking me questions. Because for the past year and a half when we were taking swimming lessons, I would just drop these things about my Jesus. My Jesus. So when I got in the door, Grace asked me about this, this, and this. And so I rattled off a scripture, and she says, wait a minute, let me get my Bible. And she was in the denominational that I came out of, and we had our Bible. So I said, sure, get your Bible, girl, let's do it. So we opened up to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and Grace prayed the prayer, receive Jesus to be her personal Lord and Savior. So it was great, it was great. Probably about 3 months later, Grace passed on, went on to be with Jesus. But this is the thing that happened to me, that this thought after Grace passed away. And I wrote this down, and it's really funny. I have an old Bible, and I have some things shoved in there. Anybody have a Bible, you got things shoved in? Don't drop it, everything will fall out. But I wrote this down, and I'm just going to throw it at you. I've since tweaked it, but it was really, really big in my life. And this is what I wrote down after Grace passed away. How many times have I missed the opportunity to minister to people in this world because I was so caught up with the things of this world, okay? And all I could think of, you know, this was like a week after Grace passed away, and all I could think of, what if? What if I didn't go because I was so busy? What if I was her last chance? Because Grace passed away within 2 months after that. And you don't know, you might be the last person to go give them Jesus, right? What if I was just so busy, you know? So I started thinking about that, and I was like, you know, have I ever done that before? Have I ever been so busy? And the answer was, yeah, I've been busy, you know, and I probably just didn't even notice people because I've just been so busy because I was just caught up with the things of life. Anybody ever get caught up, right? So that's what I want to talk about because, listen, guys, it happens to everybody. And it doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It doesn't mean that God's mad at you, okay? It just means we just get caught up in things that are going on in our life, all right? So transition into, let me give you our main idea. It's the one thing I want you to get so good today when you walk out of here. If you're taking notes, it'd be a good idea to write it down. You ready? This one's a little bit longer. Here we go. In the midst of worldly chaos, goats are only consumed with pursuing the lost. Okay? So in the midst of, do they put that up there? Oh, sorry guys, that's all right. They're going to work on it. Okay, in the midst of worldly chaos, goats are only consumed with pursuing the lost. So I want to make sure you understand what it consumed. Consumed is like it's the most important thing in your day or the most important thing in your life, okay? So backtrack to the first part. The first part of our main idea was in the midst of worldly chaos. Okay, guys, we have to deal with chaos in our life. You cannot just go, I'm going to hide in a cave and I'm not going to deal with it. You have to deal with things in life, right? I have to do laundry. Okay, but there's other chaos things that go on, really. So you have to deal with life, okay? But we have to make sure the things that are going on in our life don't consume us, that we forget to see the people that need us, right? And I could have done that with Grace. I mean, I was giving God my excuses, but God, but God, but God, but God, okay? So this is the heart of God. He wants us to always see the world, the people around us, okay? He wants us to see them and not be so consumed with what's going on in our life, you know? And sometimes we've got some big things, okay? But I'll give you a day to get over it, and you can't be so consumed with it, all right? And that's what a servant does. That's what the goat does. The goat lays their life down to serve other people, especially those outside these four walls, all right? So I'm going to give you a scripture. Turn over to Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And this is so important in God's eyes that he wrote that if you do this, he will honor you. If you do this, if you lay your life down for those that are not in the four walls, he says, I will honor you to the highest. All right, so listen to Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. Now, keep your finger there, and I'm going to give you a scripture a lot of you know. Just jot it down. Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11:30. Just jot this down. Proverbs 11:30 says, "He that is wise wins souls." There's a mini book in our bookstore, half price. You ought to get it. Okay? Says the same thing. All right. My commercial on that one. I might do that a lot today, all right? So let's go back and read the Daniel one. Those who are wise, so guess what we can say? Those who win souls, right? Those who win souls will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many, like win souls, to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. So all he's doing is painting two pictures there, okay, for all us picture people. And he's saying the one is the picture of the day and one is the picture of the night. And he's going like this. If you are after the lost, if you are after those who don't know Jesus, if that is where you're looking and you're focused on here, he says, just imagine the brightness of the day, like today. No clouds. It's just, well, maybe clouds, but it's not overcast or anything. It's just beautiful. And he's saying, you are going to stand out like a bright day in his eyes because you are after the lost and you're wise. The second picture, he's like, okay, picture some night. You know, there's no overcast and there's a zillion stars just shining. And he's saying, hey, listen, you are going to shine. I am going to honor you because you are wise because you are after souls. So everybody say, I am wise. I'm no dummy. I'm after souls. Okay. Only kidding. So I got to thinking, if I were the devil, I am not. I'm not the devil. But if I were the devil or the enemy, okay, you know what? My main goal would to get you off of focus. If I were the devil, my main goal would to be to get you just off track from seeing people that don't know Jesus, right? That would be, you know, he's not dumb. So I think that would be, and I'm telling you guys, that would be his big focus in my life. I want to get her off focus so she doesn't see people who don't know me, and she's not going to go after them, and she's not going to lay her life down for them. So I got to work at this. Everybody say, I got to work at this. I do. Anybody else? Yeah, I got to work at this, all right? So I have to work at this so I remember to see the people I rub shoulders with throughout my day, throughout my week, because they're out there, all right? Some of them might be your family, okay? Your neighbors, all right? So I came up with three hindrances that stop us from laying our life down for people. All right, and I probably could have come up with more, but just three today, okay, ready? So these are just like three main ones, and there are three things that will stop you from seeing and laying your life down for other people. There's a lot of other people out there, all right? So we got to learn how to deal with it. So let me give you a really cool scripture. Personally, every scripture in the Bible is a cool scripture, but turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul who's writing this. He's writing to Christians, all right? So we can say he's writing to me. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and really what he was talking about is the chapter 11 before, all the men and women of God, the great ones that had faith, all right? They were the great women and men of faith. So he says, now, let us throw off every hindrance. So guys, there are, from that scripture, there are things that can hinder us as a Christian. They can hinder us from laying our life down, all right? And there's so if there's things that can hinder us, and he's telling us to lay it off or take it off, guess what? You can take it off. You can take off those things that hinder you, all right? So then he says, and the sin that so easily entangles you. And that could be this chaotic world, and that could be sin, all right? And he said, so when you've got these things that are sin or just the crazy of life, you need to lay it down so it doesn't trip you up. That's what he says. But listen to this. This is the last part. He says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us, okay? And this is really important. And what it's saying is every single one of you has a race that God has marked out for you. Everybody say for me, all right? Now, my race is pastory stuff, okay? So I teach, I preach, I do a bunch of other things. That's my race, right? And I have other pastor friends, and they do specific things as they're pastoring that I don't do. And I do specific things that they don't do. That's okay, because each of us has a specific race mapped out by God that I'm supposed to do, all right? Now, besides being pastors, I'm a Christian, and Christians have, I'm reading this, like God marked out a race for you to run. So everybody say, God mapped out a race for me to run, all right? That's all right, didn't say it. That's okay. He mapped out a race for you to run that might be different than the person next to you, and that's okay, all right? Okay, and I have this happen with pastors all the time. About 30 years ago when we started this church, the big thing were for churches and pastors to have a Christian school. And we sat down and we talked about it. Like, duh, I have an elementary school degree, all right? And Pastor Jack was like a preaching, teaching machine. We should have a school. People were coming up. And you know what? We prayed about it and we said, nope, that is not the race that was mapped out for us to do. And high five, we'll send our kids to your school, all right? But that's okay, all righty? We sent them to public school. That's a whole other story. Okay. Okay. So you need to do the race and not get mad at me that I'm doing my race. Just like, okay, and don't get judgmental and critical about people the way they run their race, all right? And I was talking about pastors, but just generally. So in essence, we all have a race. And there might be things that are hindering me, hindering you from running your race where you lay your life down for people. Because I want to be a goat. I want to lay my life down. All right. So number one hindrance, if you're taking notes and you're smarter than a fifth grader, you ought to write this down. Praise God. Here we go. Hindrance number one is called an offended heart. An offended heart. Great book in the bookstore, okay? I'm going to do this today. And they're on the desk when you go back there for half price. Okay, offended heart. Okay, what's an offended heart? I don't have to tell you, but it's when somebody does something to you, and it doesn't have to be a big, huge thing, all right? But somebody does something and you get offended. Anybody? Point to somebody else and say they did it, right? They did it, right? And you know what happens? If you get offended, then you kind of stew on it, then you think on it, then you think on it, and then you just kind of become crazy bitter, right? Okay, so let me tell you a true story. This happened it's when we first started the church. There was this grandma lady. Golly, I'm a grandma lady. But there's this old grandma lady in church, and she was just really upset. And her relative called me up. Now, I knew her, you know, but the relative called me up and said, hey, would you talk to this lady? She's really upset about something. I said, sure. So background story is her son, her only child, her son had moved out of state, and he had a bunch of kids. So her grandkids were living out of state, and she had no relationship with them. She didn't get to know them because they moved out of state. I don't know if they were cross country. I can't remember the story. But so she was hurting about this. This is the thing, okay? So anyway, they asked me to talk to her, so I talked to her, and I said, hey, what's going on? And she said this, that wife. I was like, whoa, baby. The daughter-in-law, right? That daughter-in-law, she took my son away. I was like, oh. Now, I was a little young and dumb, but I got it together that day. I was really careful what I said, okay? And I said, well, why? What happened? What'd she do? And she said, well, she did such and such. I said, well, what was the such and such? So she told me what it was, and I said, well, what did you do? What happened next? And she says, well, she said she was sorry, but I didn't believe her because, you know, I just didn't believe her. She's no good. She took my son away. And I thought, this happened 30 years ago. And this grandma, you know, is all upset. And I said, well, you know, what did, you know, did she apologize? Yes, I didn't forgive her. And I thought, you know, she goes on. This, I can't even tell you all the rest. So she goes on and she goes, she's no good. I was like, what? And I thought, maybe it's because, you know, you said she's no good and you called her the wife and you wouldn't forgive her and you're offended. And I could not get this lady to see that she was an offense. She was just like, she did it. And because of that, listen to this. She had no relationship with her son. She didn't know these grandkids. She didn't know the woman, right? But I could not get her, okay? Now, how many goes, that's an extreme story. But raise your hand if you know one of those extreme stories. I know people. Yep, okay. So, I've met people that have these extreme stories where they're an offense and they never talk to someone and they don't care if they drop dead, all right? So what about the rest of us, okay? What about the rest of us in our everyday, okay? You know, like it happened yesterday or last week or something like that. So we have this offense that just happened yesterday or last week and it's kind of festering, okay? And guys, we don't want to let it just consume us. And all we're focused is on this offense. And then we walk right by people that God has for you at the gas pump or the girl in the line that's pulling off something off the shelf. And you walk right by them because you are so dang consumed with your offense that you don't even see them. Okay? And that is the danger of having an offended heart. All right? So I want to read you some scriptures that God just did years ago and he still brings up to me, okay? Because I still have to work on this, all right? So open up to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, verse 11. And these are scriptures that helped me and I still have to redo the refresher course, all right? Here we go. Good sense and discretion makes a man or woman slow to anger. How many of you want to have some good sense? Yeah, okay, so good sense and discretion makes a person, let's say, slow to anger, right? And it is his honor and his glory to overlook a transgression or an offense, all right, without seeking revenge or harboring resentment. Ouch. Okay, so guys, I've read these scriptures for a lot of years, and some days I just doing good, and other days they are still working in my heart. All right. So the other day, this past week, somebody said something to me. It's nobody here, so don't go, what's she talking about me? Okay. And they said something to me, and I felt like it was loaded remark. Like there was more to this what they said, you know? You ever have somebody say something, you're like, okay, and I got offended, all right? Okay. Because, now I didn't say any words because I am getting a little bit smarter in my young age, okay, with my birthday tomorrow, that I don't say anything, okay, but that's probably worse, because it just kept nagging me that whole day, I was thinking about it, went to bed that next morning, guess what I thought of first, that person, I can't believe what they said, you know, so I'm thinking on, okay, but I've been doing some things like this scripture, but let me back up. About a month ago, I was touching base with a minister friend of ours, and he said this to me. He said, you know, Pastor D, no, we're on first name. We don't call pastors. When I hang out with pastors, we just go first name. He goes, hey, D, you know what I've been doing? I go, no, what? He says, I've been praying the Our Father. And I thought, are you kidding me? That's stupid. Because I came out of a denomination, you only knew three prayers. The Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Bless Us the Lord, the prayer over your food, okay? So I was like, I had to pray that all the time, you know, especially if you got the rosary beads out. And it didn't do me any good, you know why? I was praying it from here and not from my heart. So I was thinking, I didn't say it because I'm getting a little smarter. I said, man, that's stupid. What are you getting, religious or something like that? Right? And I just rolled my eyes, and then we just went on to other things. Okay, so went to bed that night, got up the next morning, I'm sitting down with my coffee, got my light on, I got my Bibles, and I'm doing my morning devotions, and I thought about what he said. He prays the Our Father. And I thought, huh, really? right, I'm going to pray the Our Father. I feel like I'm supposed to pray the Our Father, okay? So I start the Our Father. Some of you are laughing, okay? And you know, the Our Father. Our Father, or better, so I made it personal. My Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name, okay? I saw, and that's good. That's a good way to start your day. My Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Okay, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us, now I make it personal. Give me this day my daily bread. The natural and spiritual, okay? I'm praying this. And then I got to the part, and forgive me my trespasses as you forgive, or it's the other way, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. And right there, that thing, that offense, that's like, okay, that's why God had me to pray that, okay? Now, that prayer isn't that God's not going to forgive you, okay? But that prayer is like, I need you to follow God. And if God has forgiven you this and this and this, you need to forgive them for this and this and this, all righty? So I got to thinking of all the things I've done. Just in one day, you know? Okay, I'm kidding with you, okay? But I started thinking of all the things that I've done. And I thought, God, you have forgiven me. Of all of them. He will forgive them and he won't bring it back up. That is amazing, all right? So I kept to thinking, well, I'm going to let it go. I'm making a decision now. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to dwell on it, okay? And God, maybe I didn't know what they meant, but I'm just letting it go, okay? Praise God, all righty? Now, let me give you another scripture. Turn over to Proverbs, or you're already in Proverbs. Proverbs 10, verse 12. This is a little of the icing on the cake here, so get ready. Proverbs 10, 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Now, the problem is I can rattle that off, and I used to say do a cartwheel while I'm doing it, but I won't do those anymore. You just know those scriptures, you know? You just know those. So sometimes it's just flying out of your head. So I have this big, huge Bible. It says 26 translations. So I thought, well, I need to open this up because this is just, I could rattle off that scripture. So I opened it up and listened to the Knox translation because this is the kicker. Sometimes we got it here, but I need it here. Listen to Knox translation. Hatred is ever ready to pick up a quarrel, but love passes over all kinds of offenses. Love passes over all kinds of offenses. All right. This word hatred that I just read, it's not the angry, I hate you, okay? This word hatred means the opposite of love. It's just that's what this, in this scripture, okay? So the opposite of love is you are stirring up strife by telling everybody what they did. None of you have ever done that. Okay? And it says love covers that. Everybody say love covers that. All right? Now, when I began to see that, and I'm still working on it, okay? It meant that I am now going to release things. Right? I'm going to just release it. I'm not going to go over it and over it. I'm definitely not going to tell everybody over and over. And I have been so guilty of that because I'm offended. But I'm like, okay, I see that. I'm going to let go. All right? So I'm not going to talk about it, but listen, I have to say this. Obviously, if somebody has done something really bad, like the abuse stuff, we were just talking, we had a conversation, by law, you need to report that, okay? So those things, by law, you do, all right? But this is when somebody's done something, I'm not going to go tell everybody. Okay, and I'm just going to let it go, because love covers, praise God, and if God has covered me, and he's covered me, and he's covered me, we're going to cover, all righty? So those are some Old Testament scriptures. Pop over to the New Testament. Turn over to Colossians. This is written by the Apostle Paul. You talk about a guy had a lot of opportunities to cover people. This would be the Apostle Paul. All right, Colossians 3:13. Make allowances for each other's faults. So I got to thinking, and I did a little digging in here what it means. It means to put up with each other's faults. Now, you know, some people, they're just not going to change, okay? right? Don't look at anybody, just straight ahead of Pastor D. Some people aren't going to change, okay? And I know everybody wants to grow, but listen, their personality is going to be their personality until Jesus takes them home, right? All right? And you know, we may be able to knock some of the rough edges off us, but there's some personalities that are in your life, blessed be, all right? So let's read that again. Here we go. Make allowance. Put up for each other's faults. Second thing, all right? So first thing, that. Number two, forgive anyone who's offended you. And I love this last part. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and I love this translation because it says, you must forgive others. You must, okay? Now, this isn't just talking about Jesus forgave me before I got born again. Nope, Jesus forgave you like the day after, okay? And the day after and the day after. He has forgiven you. He keeps forgiving you, okay? So I start thinking about all the things that he's forgiven me of, and I'm like, you know what? My list like be this, and you got this one thing, I'm just going to let that go, all right? So, moving right on. Offense, not a good thing. Got to get rid of it. Here's our second one. Praise God. Here's our second one. It's a hindrance, and it's called an angry heart. Not hangry because you're hungry. Angry. Everybody say angry. Angry heart. This is when you are so consumed, all right, with what's going on around you. You are so consumed that you become angry. You are so consumed, all right? And you just can't get over it. You are consumed, all right? And because you are so consumed about an issue or things that are going on around you, that you now become blind to the people that God is bringing into your life that need to know that God loves them and he sent Jesus, okay? And that is the hindrance, okay, is that you are consumed. You're angry, okay? Now, when it comes to politics, man, there's a lot of people angry these days. I'm angry these days, okay? All right? And we're angry at what we see in our world. We're angry at what we see in our nation, okay? And God spoke to me about 6 months ago, and you ought to write this down. It should be a post-it note. Write this down. He said D, but I'm going to say we. Okay, ready? We have to be concerned. We have to be concerned, all right, without being consumed. Because it goes like this, all righty? Now, let me say, if I can do something to fix it, all right? But listen, guys, there's a lot of things you can't control. There's a lot of people you can't control. There's a lot of things going on down there that you can't control, all right? Okay, but, I'm going to keep putting the but, I can be concerned, okay, but don't be consumed. If I can fix it, get off your duff and fix it, all righty? So this is what God did, and you know, I'm praying about this, and he gave me this, and he says, okay, D, you need to be concerned, but don't be consumed, and ask yourself, is there something you can do to fix it? So was it last year? This lady called up Sherry, she's a mom of the youth, and she said, hey, listen, there is some things that is anti-God, anti-Jesus going on in my school district, and they're having this big meeting. Was it with the board or school board? And it was open for all the, you know, anybody in that district. And she says, do you know anybody in the district? Because I can do something. I can go there, and I can speak out, all right? And she was struggling to find people to come with her, okay? And that was sad. So listen, so you can join a group, but you have to ask God, is this the group that I need to join to help fix or to do something? Because sometimes what you are supposed to be doing is not something I'm supposed to be doing. So don't get mad at me. Just do ask God and then go see what you can do, all right? So it's, again, if you have influence, get in there, all right? I have been writing my people up there that I don't agree with such and such, okay? It's anti-God, it's anti my Bible, it's anti what I believe, it's just okay. So I've been doing some things, okay? You can write to your representatives, you ought to, and it's real easy now online. It's just like easy, okay? And so you can do stuff. Just don't sit there and I'm so mad. Go ask God what you can do, okay? Now, because there are some Christians, everybody look out the window, okay, they're not in here, yeah. There are some Christians that are so mad right now, and they're actually causing division in the church, maybe not this church, okay? And the devil's using that to divide, all right? So this is what happened to me. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He says, now, Dee, you can be concerned. Okay, but you don't have to be consumed that you get to a place in anger, and this is what you can do. Okay, number one, ready? Number one, I have to remind myself who's behind all of that. Who's really behind all that, all right? Okay, and then it shouldn't shock me, right? Because their father's the devil, they're acting like the devil, right? And he's just, okay, so be quiet. Okay, so first, that's what I do. Second, I pray. So open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 12. I start praying this. Whew, and it makes it better. For we, you and me, we, are not fighting against flesh and blood. So I'm going to read it this. You are not fighting people. You are not fighting people. You have to know that first. Otherwise, you're going to get angry. So we are not fighting against flesh and blood people, but against evil rulers. You're fighting against evil rulers. You're fighting against authorities in the unseen world. You're fighting against mighty powers in this dark world. You're fighting against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Translation, you are fighting an enemy. Okay, so those things that can get you angry, you got to know really, number one. So you're fighting an enemy, and he is deceiving people. You're like, what? No, he's deceiving people, and he's got them doing crazy things. I mean crazy things down there. Okay, right? Okay, and I am concerned. What was it in Canada, that pastor that they arrested for being a pastor, for doing pastory things? And like, I'm concerned, but listen, guys, I can't do anything. The guy's in Canada, okay? This is my turf, all right? This is my turf, the USA, all right? So what am I going to do when I see these things, I hear these things are happening all over there? I'm going to pray, all right? Therefore, every Thursday at noon, downstairs in our office, we have noontime prayer, and y'all are invited. Y'all are invited, okay? And we start exactly at 12. So if you want to come and talk, but you walk in at 12 o'clock, first we start in worship. And then this past week, because I knew what I was sharing and I was just really pumped, you can tell, well, I said, y'all, we're going to read this scripture. So we read this scripture. Matter of fact, here's our sheet. We're going to read this scripture, okay, and then we're going to pray. And I want to tell you, it was the most powerful times we've ever prayed when we were praying for our politicians and our government and all that stuff. Because we were praying and taking authority, all right? So it was really good, really good. And listen, it was powerful. I know God's doing things, and he's going to continue to do things, okay? Now, I have two favorite scriptures. Just jot them down, okay, because I'm going to give you the Cashman version. But write them down. Matthew 4:22. You're going to love these. Luke 12, 2 and 3. And this is how I pray those two. I put them together and I go, oh, Lord, whatever is evil, you uncover it. Lord, whoever is evil, you uncover them. You expose them. So justice in Jesus' name. Don't you love that? Okay. Okay. So that's one thing that we can do. We have power over. Okay. And you go in and you pray those prayers. Okay. So again, my heart, God's heart is that this is our main idea. In the midst of worldly chaos, goats are consumed, only consumed with the people that are lost. Okay? And that's God's heart, is that we reach this crazy world and we reach the crazy people in the world, okay? And not all of them are crazy, but some of them are, all right? Some of them are. And you go pray these prayers that this is exposed and stuff, okay? But you can't let it make you angry. Because when you get to that place, you have forgotten to see the people that God's placed for you to rub shoulders with and to tell them about Jesus. And I've seen it. I've seen it over and over where people are just so angry. It's just, yeah. Okay. Okay, Pastor D, wrap up. Here we go. Praise God. Okay. Let's do number three, because I'm going to do this one really quick, okay? Because God's going to, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. But God will take time with you, okay? Here's number three. You ready? Number three that'll hinder you from being a goat that lays your life down, a cluttered life. A cluttered life, okay? Now, you can look up the scriptures. There's a couple of them that deal with this. This is the parable of the sower. Who knows the parable of the sower, right? It's in a couple of the gospels. And the parable of the sower, Jesus says, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things can enter your heart. How about enter your life? Those things, they just get in there. And you know what happens? Okay, well, they choke the life of God out of you. They choke that you are not productive. You are not having fruit out of your life because you're just choked, okay? So, and what happens is we get so busy. Listen, so busy with what's going on in our life that we are not seeing the people that Jesus died for. Yeah, guilty, okay? Especially on Monday. Monday, my day off. Okay, where's Joe? Joe and I meet at the gym at 10, and then I am running lists. I am just like running, and I can just become blind to the people around me. So I pray this. I go, God, open my eyes to the people that you have for me today to see, that I can shine, that I can talk, that I can tell. Amen? Praise God. Okay, I'm going to let the Lord lead you and deal with you on that one, and that's a good prayer. God, go read the sower, sower's word. Is there clutter in my life that I don't see? Okay, and he might say, get rid of this, get rid of that, all right? So we're going to pray. So bow your heads, close your eyes, just take a deep breath, right? Father, I thank you for all the goats that are in the house today and all the goats that are listening online. I thank you, Father, that you give us a heart. You give us a fire for the lost that are around us. Father, I pray that just you help us not be so concerned that we are then consumed. Lord, show us that we would not let anger and offense in our hearts, Lord, but instead, Lord, that like never before, Father, you give us the eyes in our heart to reach those around us, whether they're in our families, in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces, wherever we go, Father, that need to know that you love them. And listen, some of you right now, you're sitting here thinking, well, that's the evangelist person. No, and some of you are thinking, that was a no. Some of you are thinking, you know, I'm not qualified. I don't know what to say. Listen, you have the Lord God, his spirit inside of you, and he will give you words to speak. And you just have to trust him. And he said his grace would empower you to just invite people to church. How easy is that? It'll just empower you to share Jesus. It'll just empower you just to let your light shine, all right? So, Lord, I thank you that we are going to let go of offense. We're going to release anger. We're going to, Lord, we're going to let our hearts just be filled with love like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, one more. You got to pray this one. Sorry about this. Lord, if there be clutter in our life, and you know, I have to regularly do this, like once a month, I'll have this conversation with the Lord. Lord, if there's clutter in my life, we're going to release it. And we're going to reach people that don't know you. And how many of you remember the person that brought you to Jesus, the person that told you about Jesus, the person that prayed that prayer with you? I will. His name was Lou and Peter. And I would not be here this day had they not talked to me because their life, listen, they were busy people. So I say, Lord, I want to be those people that lays my life down. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one more thing. You don't have to do this. Okay, one more thing here. Most important question in the entire universe. You ready? What have you done with Jesus? You better close your eyes when I do this. Ready? Okay, what have you done with Jesus? All right? Have you asked him to come into your life? Have you asked him to be not just somebody who you know about, or somebody someone told you about, but you've asked him to be somebody personal in your life? So what have you done with Jesus? All right? Because Jesus said, you are either for me or you're against me. Whoa, Pastor D, that's a little heavy. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. So you are either committed to him or you're against me. So today, what have you done with Jesus? All right, have you asked him? Have you ever prayed, Lord Jesus, I need you, come into my life, be Lord of my life, all right? And if this is stirring in your heart, I'm telling you, the way to the Father is only through and by asking Jesus. And the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, I didn't say this, whoever would believe in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, if you would believe in your heart and say that, he would welcome you into his family and you'd have eternity with him, all right? So I'm asking if you'd like to ask Jesus to into your heart, today is the day. Today is the day. I'd like to pray with you. And how about all of you that have already prayed that prayer? How about we pray that with them, okay? How about we pray that? Pray that out loud, especially if you're praying this the first time. You pray that out loud that you hear. And you don't have to cry, okay? Some people do, I don't. But you don't have to cry. You just have to mean it from your heart. This is a prayer, you mean it from your heart. And the Bible says all of heaven is listening. Okay, so this is important. So everybody say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to this earth to die for the sins of the world and to die for my sins. And I thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. And today I ask you to come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I am now a child of God. Amen. Amen. And I will serve you from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer, just come up and see me. Let me know. Number one, I'm going to... If you want a hug, I'll give you a hug. If you want an elbow, I'll give you an elbow. But listen, I also have a little book that I want to put in your hand. I also want to give you a Bible. Most important thing you'll ever read in your life, okay? So praise God. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. If you're all good-looking goats, right? Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that your word has gone into hearts. I thank you, Father, that we are doers of the word. And we go out and we lay our life down for the people you bring and you put in our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week. Go goat it up, baby.